All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. So I want to read from a few different, three or four different presentations by Vishnu Chakravarti, by Sri Kavi Kanapur, and then one special song about Radha Damodar. Anybody who needs seats, there's a few chairs here. Those guys who have bad knees, bad legs. We were just experiencing Vrindavan. Why? How? This is one of their pastimes, yes? The swinging? Swing festival? What's another way? A way we say we're experiencing Vrindavan? Speak loud so others can hear you. Yes? Yes? By the mercy of Radharani and her devotees? By the holy name? Any more ways? Singing the glories of Radha Damodar? By being on a spontaneous platform, then making spontaneous arrangements. Yes, everything is out of our control, that's for sure. Anything? We're going to have class inside. We're going to have the Guru Puja at 7:15, and instead of having it at 7:31, and we brought the deities out. Yes? Any other ways we're in Vrindavan? Yes? Opening our hearts to Radha Krishna? Anyone else? These wonderful ways how we're in Vrindavan. So many wonderful ways. Also, we remind ourselves that we're always in Vrindavan. We just forget that we're in Vrindavan. And so, we're thinking that we're men, that we're women, in these particular bodies. We're thinking that we're in Pennsylvania. We're thinking that we are outside of, we're in Port Royal. But they're not really. We're thinking, so it's there, it's temporary. It's a temporary reality. We're thinking that we're sick. We're thinking that we're old. We're thinking that we're sad. We're thinking that we're angry. We're thinking that we're jealous. We're thinking that we're envious. We're thinking that we're poor. We're thinking that we're rich. So, this is all a part of the mind game. So since the mind's got to play games, then let's let the mind engage in manaseva. Let's let the mind engage in thinking and accepting that we're in Vrindavan. And let's try to keep the mind in that way as much as possible. Otherwise, we can think different, but we'll suffer the consequences according to improper thinking. So, before I read, I want to refresh our memory with the fact that this is Krishna consciousness. So we become a part of it or we decide we want something else. This is Krishna consciousness. This is what goes on in the spiritual world. It's not about status. It's not about saving the conditioned souls. It's not about fighting with Maya or attacking Maya, trying to get around Maya. It's not about trying to make money. It's not about being sick. It's not about growing old. It's not about dealing with conflicts. We're having this wonderful chance to deal with conflicts. This is our mature world. It's not about fears. None of those things. It's not about oversleeping. It's not about not seeing the deities. No, it's not about none of these things. This is the spiritual world. Sometimes we have to find ways to remind ourselves and to simplify everything. Because Durga Devi has such a wonderful way of keeping everybody confused about who they really are and what their real duties are. She's expert. Because we see that basically even the spiritualists, even the transcendentalists, forget most of the time. Someone is thinking they're Raja Yogi, Hatha Yogi, Sangha Yogi. Someone is thinking that they have like Hima City, they have Prapti City, they're trying to get more of it. Even amongst the spiritualists, the yogis and transcendentalists, they forget. that they're really not about those things. The soul, of course, it has all kind of facilities. So many ways of how it serves Krishna. It's opulent. And it's powerful. It has all kinds of shaktis similar to those of Krishna. It doesn't care about them. It doesn't strive for them. It just is. It just has. It's just being loving and fixed in honoring Krishna and Radha. So, we have to think, is this what we want? Maybe we don't really want Krishna. Huh? Maybe we really don't. Most people don't in the immature universe. Most people don't, even who are transcendentalists. The other day we were saying how Prabhupada said that most of the disciples want to go to the heavenly planet. That means we don't want Krishna. We don't really want the simplicity. We really want to be a leaf, to be a tree, to be a rock. Why not? I mean, not really. Most people don't. They're thinking, I want to be a big person. I want to control this, control that. Spiritual world, there's no GBC, there's no temple presidents. Huh? Because things, it's not impersonal. I mean, there are divisions and there are orders of services and there's spontaneity, but there's also coordination. But it had nothing to do with somebody thinking that they're better, that they're older, that they're lording over, that they have more power, they have more this, they have more that. Sometimes you wonder if people realize that, okay, we're trying to save the world, we're trying to save ourselves, we're trying to spread the mission. Do we really really realize that being a devotee, this means, ultimately, in serving Krishna, it doesn't have anything to do with so much categorization, distinction that we normally think. It's like I can work so hard all over the world and get so many disciples. And okay, so tomorrow I leave the body. Am I ready now to be a rock for Krishna? Huh? No? What do you think like that? Ready to be a leaf? Piece of grass that Krishna walks on? That's Krishna consciousness. One is, yes, yes, yes. One thinks, hold a minute. Now I can't do that. I got 1,000 disciples. I have to do this, do that. I have to save them. I have to do this. I have to travel and meet them. No, you don't have to do anything. I don't have to do anything. That's all part of the illusions. Temporary stuff that we have to work through. Just imagine, huh? How much of what we do, we think we have to do it, it's really had nothing to do with who we really are. That means we're really not ready to be Krishna conscious. So Krishna consciousness is making arrangements in different ways as we are experiencing the wonderful pastimes of of Maharani, of Radharani and Krishna. No enviousness, no dullness. No reasons to find excuses of why not to love them. That's all material world. No reason to find excuses not to serve them in our hearts or be with them. That's all material world. So we must think sometimes. We are in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is everything. Everything else that is not Vrindavan is just illusion. Every fear, every doubt, every phobia, every anxiety we have, it's just all part of the illusion. It's not been done. So as mindful as you were during that little time, how much you were in Vrindavan. You were thinking we're in Port Royal, in Pennsylvania. You were thinking, but how is this going to pay my bills? You were thinking like that. Then it's unfortunate. You were thinking, oh, something anger, some enviousness, some greed, some frustration, some boredom, then you're in a sorrowful condition. People are not thinking when Radha and Krishna is there. They're not thinking, oh, I'm going to pay my taxes, pay my bills, I'm going to take care of this or that, my health, my somebody. No. It's not the case. So we practice. For this lifetime and many, many lifetives, we practice and practice. And somehow, some point, we kind of get it. We realize, oh, this is all just a few moments. That all of these years and decades and centuries. It's just a few days in the spiritual world. That all the time that we're away is just a short time, an eternal time in the spiritual world. Remember when Brahma stole the cowherd boys and calves? And so even though it was for a year, but it was just a moment, spiritual in time, spiritual world time. So all the time that we are away, captured by all of this illusion, hopefully not so much, it's moments. And that's all. It's moments for us to make a choice of what we want. And so every time we choose something, we have a few more moments to go on with another kind of illusion. Krishna consciousness is so simple and so damn difficult. Because illusion is basically all we know. It's in our pores for many, many lifetimes. And so, therefore, the reality seems theoretical. And the illusion seems like the hardcore of reality, but it's the opposite. The reality seems like something conceptual, huh? It seems like a fantasy, like a dream, like an astral situation. And the real, which is, the temporary, which is really so secondary and really is illusion, it has a tendency of seeming real. The little time we're here in this little grove, and we are there, and the Lord is here with us, and we are swinging, and we're fanning, and we're thinking about them, that is much, much more real. We're coming closer and closer to the eternal reality than anything we do all the rest of the day that we think is so important. So let me read this. I'm speaking to remind myself and hopefully to remind you. If you don't want to be reminded, that's okay. I remind myself. This is a traditional song. Radhe Julana Padharo. I'll just read the translation. Radhe Julana Padharo Juke Aye Badra. Juke Aye Badra, Gira Aye Badra. Translation. The Shakis, they say to Radha, please come and swing. So imagine Lalita, Vishaka, and so many other great agents of theirs. They're calling Radha. Radha is a little, what you call, sulky. She's not really wanting to come in this particular lila. All Shakis are with Radha. She's a little sulky before going to the swing, which is hanging from a kadamba tree in Braj, Braj Mandala. Radha, Kund, Barshana, and many other places, Krishna has arrived at the swing and is waiting for Radha. But she says she won't go. She says, I'm not going. So the Shakis say to Radha, please, Radha, please come and swing. Some very beautiful rain clouds have come. Soon it will rain. If you don't come now, you will miss it, and you'll be sorry. So many clouds here, they're coming, Shakis say. Aise ma nahi ki je kata tahi chariya ali tumte parama sarini vishabanki lali. Give up your mana, O Shaki. Don't be stubborn. They're speaking to Radhavan. You are the daughter of Vishabhanu Maharaj, and you are so clever. So don't be stubborn. Why do you persist in this sulky mood? Sayo sala singadaro nayana kajaro pahiro panchara sari arho swayam chadara. There's like a call to us also. Come and swing the Lord. Come and see the Lord. Come and think about the Lord. Wherever you are, at home, at work, at the temple, anywhere. Come, jiva jago. We all can participate. And we know that going back to the spiritual world is because we want to go back. Going back to the spiritual world is because we have no other priority other than want to go back. Going back is because we're actually burnt out, blown out, fried out with everything else. Nothing has any other real taste. Then it means that because we are wanting a higher taste. When other things are tasting too much for us, we don't want the higher taste. We're tasting and tasting. Huh? mundane music. We want it. We're tasting and tasting the mundane videos, the mundane movies. We're tasting and tasting the mundane sights. But we don't want it. We don't want the higher. You can't have both. You can't have the real and the illusion. It just doesn't work that way. You either give up the illusion and take the real, or you keep on with the illusion and different kinds of the illusion. There's a lot of chances, so many different kinds of illusions. So when I'm watching TV, am I enjoying that? Am I locked into that? Am I giving my consciousness to that as much or more, even partially? So I'm watching, and I'm fully wrapped with rapt attention. When it comes to chanting my rounds, I fall asleep. And I don't complete them every day. But when it comes to watching that special program, I want to watch it. And whatever I have to do, I put it off. Or a special video I want, I get it and I watch it. If I stay up to 1 o'clock, even though I'm tired, I'm falling asleep, I'm still trying to watch it with rapt attention. Huh? I want to see it, enjoy it. It's amazing. How can we have the real when the illusion is so permeating through our consciousness? We're so fast to rush down to the malls and to downtown and other places, shopping centers. We go and we decorate ourselves. We get something to decorate our bodies and decorate into our cars and decorate our houses. But then our deities in our house or our deities in the temple, we have no time. We go and we buy everything. But when did we buy something for Krishna? When was the last time we bought something for Krishna? Think about it. And the deities here or deities at your home? When was the last time you got something for the deities? When was the last time you bought something for yourself? Last night? Yesterday? Last week? So how many times you look at your pictures? Not any of you, I'm sure. Friends and relatives and anniversaries and so many things. But how much are we looking and thinking about the pastimes, the leelas of the Lord? This is our Krishna consciousness. Simple? Maybe. If we're simple, if we're honest. Difficult? Yes. All through the day, during the day. How much are we in Vrindavan? It doesn't mean that we have to be impractical. It means that what we do, we are doing it, offering it to the Lord, and it's something that's offerable. If it's not offerable, we maintain and propagate delusion. So we're not going to come. We're being invited. Now you should decorate yourself with 16 kinds of ornaments and put kaja on your eyes. Mothers, what is that? K-A-J-J-A-L? Kajal. The black stuff? Oh, okay. Wear a five-colored sari. Five colored. Sari with five different colors. And dark and a very thin shawl. So that Shaki is asking Radharani to do like this. Te ro rasika priyat yatma maga jova kodo swam do kara jora te go charana paro radhe jana paga dara syam naya daro. Your rasika, beloved, is waiting for you. He's waiting on the way. He's standing with folded hands. Shama is ready to fall at your feet. Wherever Radha places her feet, Shama is watching. His eyes is following. Daro Reshama. You see, imagine Radharani walking very majestically. She's saying, I'm not going to go. She's reluctant. Shakis are calling her. They've arranged everything. Krishna is there. He's waiting. And he sees her coming. He's just watching her majestically as she's walking. Ankle bells moving. His eyes wrapped on each movement. Daro re sama dore jata jale rara gore takabaya gora gora para hara chudayan. Hang the silken ropes where a golden rada will swing. Do you have the ropes for the swing? Her arms are very golden and she's wearing green bracelets. It's another song that I'm just reading. Jula Jule Radha Damodar. It's the one somebody put on the board. You saw it this morning. Jula Jule Radha Damodara Vrindavan Man. Kaisa Chai Harel Ali Ali Kunja Man. Radha Damodara swinging on the swing in Vrindavan.
cows are here, but the bushes are here, the Lord is here. I guess it is Vrindavan. Right now, we're only talking about Krishna. Hopefully, we're only thinking about Krishna. Krishna and Radha is here. Nothing else is important right now. So temporarily, we are covering away, taking away some of the covering. The Mahatattva. Some of the coverings away. Radha Damodara are swinging on the swing in Vrindavan. Oh, friend, how very green the kunja is. Ita nanda kodula ita banu ki dalari jari lagi ati praye basi nana men. On this side is the dear son of Nanda. On that side is the very dear son of Vrishabandhu Maharaj. Both look very beautiful. I keep them within my vision. Yamuna ke kala pari sangara dulula kaishai kala rahe pula ali karamam men. On the bank of the Yamuna, they are wearing very beautiful and colorful clothes. Oh friend, how the flowers are blossoming on the Kadamba tree. They're in there. Flashy red today. Gora sham ranga gana a denima ke sanga bai a iya apanga tabi hari man men. Their golden and darkened colors are like lightning on a dark cloud. My eyes do not close. That picture fills my mind. So we can try to fill our minds up with this sight. Radhe mukano nana sham ke chokora braja gopin prema doro logi chana nam men. Radha's face is like the moon. Krishna's eyes are like the chakra bird, attracted to the moon, looking towards her. The braja gopi's prema is a rope binding Radha's and Krishna's lotus feet. So these were two nice little songs. I want to read something about the pastimes of the swing festival. We want to pray hard all the time. We want to pray very, very deeply, very profound way during these times we can connect with certain pastimes, certain mercy due to anniversaries or whatever that's there with the Lord in his pastimes. Because we want to pray that somehow Krishna operates on our mind, so that our mind doesn't keep going to the trash bin. Our minds are so fast to go to Kama, Krodha, Matsuya, Mohan, Nada. It's just almost like spontaneous. We don't have to work hard for the mind to go to those places. But it's a little more difficult for the mind to go at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. We want to pray very hard that somehow soon, tomorrow, this afternoon, somehow that a mind stops going to these places. At least that it goes slower, and then slower, and slower, and then it stops. Now the mind just goes at such a pace, such speed. Anger, loneliness, fear, greed, enviousness, lust. So we want to play games with the mind by capturing its rascal aspect. But even Odin decides to beat the mind with a shoe, we realize how vicious that the mind is. Dear mind, please, let me somehow remove the illusion. Let me appreciate the simplicity and stop running from you. Even when I have chance to think more deeply about you, even when I have chance to take the medicine that will make me well, even when I have chance to take the hear and to see the things that will give me sight and to give me ability to hear, that I beg for them and then I run away from them when I have the opportunity. Dear mind, please, please, please. Come on, so many lifetimes. Mind, stop it, stop it. But the mind won't stop. Only we have to give more attention to the soul. Because the more that we get angry at the mind, the more the mind just laughs and thinks, oh, I got him going. Now he's thinking of me all the time. So I'm either going to control him by thinking of me,
lamenting or control by letting the spontaneity just react to the environment. So the only way out of it, we have to be placed with the higher taste. But we can't be placed with the higher taste and every time we just go buying for ourselves, every time we just go looking for stimulating the senses, every time we go and do things as if what we have is the all in all, our car, our house, or whatever, that is a deity instead of the deity. Deity right in our house, and we ignore the deity. So how can Krishna notice us? We keep ignoring. Sometimes we pray, sometimes we preach. We preach for self-purification. So this is a interesting little pastime of playing on the swing festival. And I'll read it. This one is short, so I'll read this one. So Vishwanath Chakravarti is explaining about the different times of the day and different things going on. The divine couple. The times we're looking at here is 10:48 in the morning to 3:36 in the afternoon. So this is a Leela pastime that is taking place around that time of the day. Surrounded by the Shakis, Krishna came out of the Kunj, and the honeybee, now as I'm reading this, just go to Vrindavan. Just for the next 15, 20 minutes. Forget everything else. Whatever you have to do half an hour from now, just let it happen when it happens. Forget everything. If you got to go to the restroom, go now and then come back. But just be comfortable, and just let the mind just absorb, and just hearing. You know, we want to leave Pennsylvania right now. We want to go home. We want to remove the covering that's there because home is with us. We want to just accept our real identity for a little while as we watch this pastime. Huh? We have Radha Damodar here. We can focus our mature eyes so that we can be focused on this pastime. So that we free ourselves from some of the amnesia, some of the strength of the cocky mind. See, the mind gets a little weaker. We start giving nourishment to the soul. Until the mind more or less merges. Mind has, the subtle body has its stuff, the physical body has it, and the soul is not just ether, or smoke, or light. So as these temporary coverings become spiritualized, then they merge into the ultimate. And then there is this soul activity in its absorption. Surrounded by the Shakis. Imagine now, we see Krishna coming out. Krishna came out of the Kunj, and the honeybee-like glance of his beloved one drank the honey of his sweetness. It was as if millions of cupids, being defeated by Krishna in beauty, worshipped a drop of the beauty of his toenails. Looking at Radhika, imagine now, Krishna looking at Radha. Looking at Radhika, Krishna placed his, hey, watch Krishna now, he placed his left arm on Radha's shoulder, making her shiver with ecstasy, like a golden lotus flower shivering on the high waves of ocean of sweetness. From both sides, the Shakis handed Radha and Krishna betel leaves. So Radha is there, Krishna is there, they're absorbed in each other. Krishna's put his hand on Radha's left arm. Shakis are surrounded, and they're offering them both betel leaves. And they are intoxicated watching this whole scene. And we're watching it right now. Sri Radha took one with the fingers of her left hand. Shakis gave it to her, and she put it in Krishna's mouth. And Krishna took one with his right hand, and he put it in Radha's mouth. Krishna held his left arm on Radha's shoulder. And from there, he went to touch her bosom with his left hand. But she slapped him with her hand. It looked as wonderful as a lotus flower, trying to relish a Chakravata goose swimming in a pond of natural beauty. Being obstructed by the red lotus flower, Radha and Krishna walked over the path which was shaded by trees. So they met, and they put his hand on Radha's shoulder, and Radha, the Shaktis have given them some betel nuts in their hands. They exchanged with each other. Krishna put his hand around, he touched Radha, and Radha gave him a loving slap, and then they start they start walking. So we're watching them walk now. Occasionally the sun afflicted Radhika, making her perspire. So Krishna shaded his dear one's beautiful face by bending over so his crown covered the sun. Radha and Krishna looked like a rain cloud, and the lightning on earth, on top of which were two moons, that was their faces, that shone even in daytime, always causing the blue lotus eyes of the fair Shakis to blossom. Seeing the moons of Radha Krishna's face rise, the Chakravarta geese became sad. The peacocks blissfully began to dance. Hey, peacocks, come over. The swans became afraid, and the male chakra birds became very happy. These contradicting moods of joy and sorrow are natural creation, are a natural creation of Lord Brahma. Now, imagine, watch this scene now. Slowly, slowly, Radhika and Krishna walked over the path that was shown to them by Vrinda. So Vrinda has just come in to supervise, coordinate the activity. So she is escorting them on a particular path, bringing them to the play forest named Varshaharsha, the joy of the rainy season. Being defeated billions of times by Radha and Krishna, who were like the rain cloud and the lightning on the ground. The rain cloud and lightning in the sky thought. So this is now the rain and the lightning speaking. We're not qualified to stay above Radha and Krishna. But where shall we? Remember, everything is alive in the spiritual world. So the rain cloud is talking. But where shall we go? We're not qualified to be above them like this. But what can we do? Where shall we go? The whole firmament is pervaded by the splendor, by their splendor. Thinking in this sad way, they became white from crying drops of rain, as clouds become white in the rainy season. This pastime is happening in the rainy season. They look like a blue umbrella inset with gold, serving to protect Radha and Krishna from the summer heat. These showers were like two of the symptoms of sattvic ecstasy, crying and suddenly turning pale. They offered praise to Radha and Krishna with the soft, faltering voice of their rumbling. When Radha and Krishna played in the Kadamba forest, the trees with their thousands of gradual ascending bluish branches and their golden flowers that showered honey with love conquered the beauty of the rain clouds and the lightning. The very long jewel platforms between these Kadamba, imagine Kadamba trees, and then there's these jewel platforms in between them. They gave pleasure to Krishna day and night. Being showered by honey from the flowers and the trees that were protected by ever-wakeful honeybees. On each side of these platforms, two pillar-like trees were standing, whose branches embraced each other above the platforms. Supporting emerald balconies where flower garlands were hung. From these beautiful branches, beautiful red ropes inset with pearls were hanging. They were holding up the swings that each had two golden seats on them. They were swung by a soft breeze. So now, imagine this next scene. The maidservants artfully picked the stems of fragrant flowers. They spread the blossoms over the seats of the swings, covering the petals with soft, thin sheets. With their nice fragrance and softness, these swings were able to attract Sri Krishna. Shyam saw the best of these swings, one with a flag on it, and he climbed it. So there's several swings. So this particular one, Krishna saw, and he climbed on top of it to sit on it. It was as if ecstasy personified sat down on the swing that was served by the goddess of beauty. To get completely showered by the rain, Krishna poured his beloved one, who held his hand. So Radha's reaching out the hand. Krishna pours her hand onto the swing, and he places her next to him. Her facing him like blissful, personified face a sleepless pond of love. The maid servants serve Radha and Krishna by, so they're all around now, and now they're throwing flowers. By throwing flowers, performing arti to their lotus-like faces, singing, straightening their clothes, their necklaces, and Krishna's turban, and serving them palm and garland. The Prani Shakis, that is the maidservants, they were standing on each side of the swing. So like our devotees are doing now. They tied up their veils with their sashes, stepping back and forth to push the swing, bending their bodies as they pushed. Two other fortunate Shakis stood on each side of the swing, holding tasty beetle leaves in their hands. Try to vision this. When they put in Radha and Krishna's lotus-like mouth, these beetle nuts, whenever the swing slowed down. So you have Shakis pushing the swing, you have those on the side. Those on the side, every time it gets a little slow, then they are putting some beetle nuts in Radha and Krishna's mouth to take. Other advanced maid servants, who had sweet characteristics and who were floating in a current divine love, showed Radha and Krishna, showered them with the best flowers from their petals from their hands. So some are swinging, some are offering them the beetle nuts, others are showering them, like Abhishek, with flowers. The goddess in the sky, see, they weren't thinking about anything else. Nothing else was on their mind. Fully receiving the love, rapt attention. The goddess in the sky praised their own fortune of seeing Radha and Krishna swinging past them. They became stunned from ecstasy. And although their hopes for attaining the gopi body were unfulfilled, so the heavenly entities are watching this in amazement, they eagerly showered flowers themselves on the Yugala Kishore. The clouds, also joyful, showered their rains that turned into honey when it collided with a flower shower. These honey drops looked like the petals when they fell on the gopis' bodies, and they made friends with the pearls that were already there. So Radha and Krishna looking very beautiful. The Shakis looking very beautiful as they are decorated so nicely, and as they all absorbed in this kunj, serving the divine lordship. The sweet song of the gopis pervaded the sky, and the fragments that came out of their open mouths stirred the honeybees and offered praise to the gopis. The moon of bliss gradually waxed during Radha and Krishna's swinging festival. So imagine now, all this is going on, and now the moon is changing some. Their necklaces, earrings, and garlands were dancing. Their waist bells and ankle bells became suitable instruments for making music. And their faint smiles became the audience of all of this. Radha and Krishna's lotus-like eyes swung on the waves of the swelling ocean of each other's bodily luster. You see, spiritual world, it's all romance. It's all it is. It's all about the eternal romance. It's where the real love is. The love we're all searching, looking for, wanting, knowing is there. Getting disappointed time and time again. No disappointments like that in the spiritual world. Doesn't stop. Seeing this, Shaki gained a great wealth, they gained a great wealth of bliss. That desire which worked unfavorably for the development of the pastime by agitating Radha and Krishna's mind could not disturb the swinging festival at all. The sages say that this is because of the power of Leela Shaki, the play power personified by Vrinda Devi. The branches of the tree on which the ropes of the swing were hanging, so imagine the swing is hanging, there's some branches, the ropes. The branches began to swing along, and the leaves and flowers could thus serve Radha and Krishna by fanning them. The flower garlands hanging in these branches that were strung in many different ways swung along, and the honeybees were unable to catch them, though they carefully tried. These bees look very beautiful as they buzzed and wandered along with their swinging garlands. Not flies, but bees. Radha and Krishna wanted to swing faster. They kicked off more speed with their feet. Now, okay, grab the scene. They're there on the swing. The Shakis are around them. Some are throwing flowers on them. Some are offering the beetle nuts. As the swing slows down, some are pushing them. Others are running to come in to see, to participate. The devas in the heavenly kingdoms are watching, and they're being in awe, and the sky, the moon, reciprocating. And so now they begin to take off with the swing. Radha and Krishna wanted to swing faster. They kicked off more speed with their feet. It's amazing how, see, we have swings in the material world, huh? Everything is a replica of the spiritual. Giving their Shakis lots of loving bliss, with their experts rising and descending, so they're going higher and higher as they're kicking off a little faster. They looked very funny as they swung up and down. When Krishna was below, Krishna's flower garland embraced her blouse. The vision made the Shakis very happy. Radha and Krishna saw their own reflection in each other's bodies without even seeing each other. This made them very sad, and they sighed deeply. This breathing then dimmed the shining of the mirror-like bodies, and not seeing their reflections anymore, they became very happy. Then the ocean of playful sports, Sri Krishna himself began to push the swing. So now Krishna is pushing the swing faster and faster, just for fun, making it go so high. Watch the scene now. Making it go so high that Radha's buttocks touches the leaves on the branches of the Kadamba tree. Then she became afraid that she would fall. Krishna's making it go faster and faster and faster. Radha's getting frightened like anything. Ah, she says, don't swing anymore. Sometimes he pushes little kids. They say, oh, stop. No, 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 no more, no more. And Krishna gets even more excited. When Krishna was below, I'm sorry, thus breathing, their own reflection, I'm sorry, I keep missing my place. Don't swing anymore, no more. When Madhava heard this, he began to laugh. And instead of slowing down, he began to push the swing faster and faster. Sri Radhika's braids began to loosen. Her veil slipped off her head. Her ornaments were dishevelled. Imagine it, it was happening now. Seeing that she could not break off the speed of the swing anymore with her, she was trying with her feet to slow it down, but she couldn't. She could not break off the speed of the swing anymore with her feet because she needed them to keep her sari from blowing up. Krishna began to laugh. Her eyes were satisfied, and again he increased the speed. So Radhika gave up her seat. She became so afraid she couldn't slow down with her own feet. She had to try to fill her legs in such a way so her sari wouldn't blow up. But it was going faster and faster. So then she gave up her seat and she embraced him around the neck. Krishna also embraced her. Here the swing is going extremely fast, and their feet are off the ground, and now their hands are off the ropes. In this way, the body of the Yuga Kishora then looked like one blue lotus flower and one golden champaka flower. It became one. From that union, the fragrance of these flowers also emanated, piercing through the heavenly planets and ultimately reaching the nostrils of Padma, the goddess of fortune, and the residents of Vaikuntha. So now seeing this scene is affecting the residents of Vaikuntha. Now let's see what's happening in Raj. Seeing Radha and Krishna on the swing without any support, and the swing is going real fast, and there's no support. They both grabbed each other, and they've merged into like one. Their hands, the Shakis came, seeing it without any support from their hands. Now the Shakis who were around them, they came and stopped the swing. Sri Radha got off and mingled with her Shakis, telling them how Krishna played with her. Then she took the chief of her eight gopis, who is who? Lalita, seated her next to Krishna on the swing. And she began to sing with love. So here she just got off this tremendous ride with Krishna. And she gets down, she's talking to some of the Shakis. And now she takes one of the chief Shakis, Mithila Lalita, and she places Lalita up next to Krishna. Lalita seated her next to Krishna on the swing. She seated her. And she began to sing with love. Krishna then with Lalita did with her what he previously did with Radha. So now Krishna's got Lalita and he's going faster and faster. After doing the same thing with her, then with Vishakha, then the other Shakis, Krishna got off the swing after doing one after another. Then he expanded himself. Watch the scene now. Then he expanded himself into many forms, sat on every swing. All these swings now in the Kunj. Now he sits on every swing in one form, and he takes two Shakis away with him. And so every swing he sits on the swing, and then he grabs one of the hands of the Shakis, and he's sitting with a Shaki on each swing. This is my own interpretation. Let's see what it says. Then he expands up into many forms, sat on each swing in one form, took two Shakis with him on each swing, lifting them up with his arms and swinging with them. What is, after all, not possible to do for Krishna, the ocean of love? What is not possible? Each gopi saw that Krishna was sitting on the swing with her alone, drinking the honey from her lotus-like face. That is not so astonishing. For what is impossible to do for the desire potency of the son of the Lord of Gokula. Okay, these last two paragraphs, just absorb yourself a few more minutes while we still in Vrindavan. There was a lotus-shaped swing on which Mukunda climbed with his dear gopis as soon as Vrinda showed it to him. So there's a very special swing here that Vrinda is showing Krishna. And so Krishna takes notice of this lotus-like swing, and he goes to this particular swing. The central whore of the lotus had pillows on it. Krishna placed his left arm on Radha's shoulder as the eight primary shakis sat down on the eight surrounding petals. And the 16 secondary shakis could be set on the 16 outer leaves. So you just have to kind of imagine this as best as you can in your mind. So this is like a lotus flower. So Krishna seated with Radha, and then the eight primaries are next on the petals, and then more extended petals, 16. Petals, 16 secondary shakis. So they are all seated. It's like a lotus flower. In great bliss, Vrinda brought tasty dates, rose apples, grapes, and other kinds of fruits. So they're all in the swing formation like this while they're getting fed these wonderful things. The shakis ate what Radha and Krishna left on their plates. Nandi and Vrinda were happy to push the lotus swing. The faces of the maidservants lightened up in bliss while they sung different songs through this swinging play. Krishna attained victory over the gopis, and he gained the jewels of their kisses and embraces. Then he took them off the swing and wandered with them from forest to forest. Now remember, Krishna's expanded into all these different forms, and he's there with Radha, but he's with all the others, and now he's going into the forest with each of the shakis. Seeing Radha's face, Krishna thought, Sri Radhika's beautiful face with her soft smile that casually opens itself reminds me of the buds of the Yuti flower. And he picked some of these Yuti flowers, strung a garland of them, Krishna made the garland himself, and he wore them on the chest. The rain clouds in the sky resembled Krishna's bodily luster. The lightning resembled the gopi's luster, and the red indigopa worms in the ground resembled the red prints of the gopi's footlock. When Krishna's clouds showered its matchless rains everywhere, the flowers and vines bloomed, and the corn-like gopis became incomparable beautiful, and experienced great bliss. The monsoon forest was almost immersed in the showers of joy and erratic rocks. Thus ends the chapter 11 by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Krishna Bhavanamrita Mahakavya, dealing with Radha and Krishna's pastime on the swing in the rainy season. So by Radha and Krishna's mercy, and Radha Damodara's mercy, we had a little chance for 20 minutes to visit Vrindavan and to watch them in this pastime. We had a chance to reflect and think, do we want Vrindavan? Do we want eternal happiness, eternal play, eternal festival, eternal loving exchanges? Or do we want this chapla sukla? Do we want this temporary activities? We get stimulated and frustrated and disappointed, and we're anticipating something that doesn't happen the way we expected, and we're planning and arranging just to be fried out more and more. So, living entity has a choice at every moment to make. Those of you who have this book here, a few of you have Ananda Vrindavan Champu. In the very last pages, very last chapter, there's also a swing festival pastime. Maybe at your homes you can have a chance to read that. Read this. It's a little longer, so I read the shorter one. But it has some extremely special features. They engage in holi, It's a holy, 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 where they are throwing all kinds of colors on each other and using all kinds of gadgets to access the color and the water and the fragrance. And they're just having an outrageous bash. It's unbelievable. So you can read that when you get a chance. So you can see as we get outrageous in Gitanagari, it's okay. As long as it's focused for Krishna, we have to keep Krishna focused. Yesterday we had an outrageous time. We were all together, and we went for the Krishna exercise. We were riding on bicycles. So somehow about 20, 30 bicycles just manifested. We don't know where. They were even extra ones. And so we went around a little area. Very nice, very sattvic farm. We went on the back roads. And then we rode over to Tarka's house. And we're just sitting down and talking and getting a little rest. And then somebody mentioned about Tarka's pool. We just went over to see his pool, and we kind of walked all over there, over to it. Next thing, we made a little challenge. Mother Kalini was first to take the challenge. And she just somehow out of the heavens, just dived into the pool. Next thing you know, another person dived. Before you know it, we were all in the pool with our clothes on. And for an hour and a half, we had amazing pastimes, sporting pastimes, of races and other things. It was awesome. I couldn't believe it. And the amazing thing was, Taka wasn't even home. We just crashed his place. Somebody says, he's not home. Oh, good. Look out. The neighbors look out and see 20 people or so, 15 people in somebody's swimming pool, all of a sudden, with their clothes on. And bicycles all around. And wondering, what's going on? Well, it's only the Krishna people. They're outrageous. So any comments or any questions? See the beauty of this wonderful pastimes that are going on eternally. We may ask, you know, why Prabhupada didn't give more attention to this. What he did. Chaitanya Charitamrita, the whole Krishna book, Bhagavad Gita, setting us up in the right consciousness, understand these things. But to deserve, before we try to involve ourselves in too much thinking or such. But it is true that the thinking is to go on. It's not that, sometimes we hear about Sahajiya consciousness, and that's there, and that's a reality. But at the same time, this is our life. This is what we are engaged in Krishna consciousness for. We're not engaged in Krishna consciousness to find ways how to counteract the demons and the impersonalists. No, that's all in the background. That's what we do as becoming worthy. We are engaged in Krishna consciousness to follow strict rules and regulations. No, we do that to become ready to engage in spontaneity. We're not engaged in Krishna consciousness to have to worry about any material thing. It's just eternal love and play. But it's, of course, getting ourselves in the right mindset, or being freed of the improper body and mind sickness. And so as we become more and more freed of that through our experiences, then we're able to say yes and yes to Krishna. I've been reflecting a little bit in the last 2 weeks in relationship to why does Krishna let people suffer so much who are trying to serve him. So I've been thinking about this. You know, I mentioned Sunday how I'm getting some calls of people who commit suicide and or about to commit suicide and pains and the anxieties. And so I was thinking of this in two ways. First, remember, you had class last night, Nectar Devotion. And this is really wonderful. One of our most wonderful books. So many wonderful books. But there is a section where Satsang Mahārāj used to bring it to our memories many times when we were traveling to parties, in one of his favorite sections, where it's emphasizing the Dayabak, where it's explaining how... Anyone have a Nectar Devotion with him right now? It's okay. Where it discusses how one who is experiencing some difficulty, some suffering due to past life, karma, whatever, that one should go on enthusiastically, with determination, with focus, even though some effects come upon us due to so many things we've done improper, so much karma that's caught up with us. You know, parabdha and aparabdha karma, many different aspects of karma. Karma's already manifested, karma that hasn't. So, Rupa Goswami emphasizes, the one who goes on with offering their mind and words and body and their obeisances and dedication to the Lord, in spite of the fact that so many challenges are there, and such a person, it becomes their rightful claim. They inherit it. It becomes their inheritance to be able to become to experience what we just read eternally. So there is a price to be paid, and that price is what we do to getting out of these shackles. I mean, in general, if you're tied down or you're roped down, you're locked in, it takes effort to try to get out. I mean, once you're out, wonderful. But it takes effort. If you just think, oh, I'm tied, what can I do? Okay, you're bound. If you think, oh, I'll never get out of here, you won't. Think it's too difficult, you won't. But with help, somebody helps give you some guidance, takes away some of the rope, but now you got to get rid of the rest of the rope. But if you think, oh, but I can't, come help me more. But no, the idea is once we get some help, then we have to do the necessary. And so we may wonder, but why does Krishna, why doesn't he come faster? Why doesn't he come to our call quicker? But there are certain things that are necessary to break out of the ropes, to have the proper consciousness that lets us be able to experience the higher love. There's a book written, interesting book, by... It's called A Vedanta for the West. So it presents certain Vedic things, but sort of in a Western perspective. I think by Christopher Isherwood. And there's one pastime, there's one story in there, in the book, where one scientist is trying to create some special type of butterflies. And he makes, he's observing this cocoon in the laboratory. And he has some other scientists coming to watch how the, you know, the worm turns into a butterfly, some special accelerated way. So while they're watching this happen, as the worm is gradually coming to the butterfly and trying to flap out of the cocoon, it's having trouble. And it's flapping and flapping and flapping and flapping and flapping. It's not getting out. Then it starts flapping harder, and then it flaps and flaps, and it's flapping, it's getting slower, and it's flapping and slower and flapping, and it's losing its life here. And so it flaps and slows and it flaps and it gets slower. So then the scientist kind of makes a little cut in the cocoon so that the butterfly can be freed. So the butterfly gets out and then it's on the table. And the scientists are very happy because they see how this accelerated from a worm into a butterfly. But then something happens. The butterfly can't move. It can't fly. So the purport of that is that by nature what was needed for the butterfly to have the facility to be able to fly is that it had to go through the maturation of doing that struggling, and after it was able to be successful through that struggling, it would have the natural ability to be able to fly. And so this is somewhat similar to sometimes why we suffer in spiritual life. And why that has to be, it has to be there. Because it's part of the shedding, and it's part of the maturation. And it's why sometimes the Lord doesn't seem to just, the Krishna doesn't seem just to come in right away. Because there are certain levels of consciousness that we develop as we genuinely struggle and suffer for the higher. As we genuinely have a selflessness, then we grow, and we advance. And we come to a point where we can be a part of participating in these eternal exchanges with the right consciousness, because we become free of selfishness, free of identifying with proprietorship, free of enviousness, and therefore it takes cleansing for this to happen. And so part of the struggling process, as we continue and continue, then it allows us the ability to be able to fly, or to be able to, as we are reading, they are engaged in swinging the Lord, and watching the pastime and experiencing this great bliss, because they have accepted, I mean, they haven't left is Vrindavan. So we have left, mostly in consciousness, because everything is a spiritual world. And now we're trying to reclaim. So how do we do that when we have all of these day-to-day issues that are material issues? Yes, we are to deal with them, but remind ourselves that it's secondary. We are to deal with them, and in the beginning of the day, in the end of the day, especially, we have to remind ourselves who we really are, what we're really about, so that there's sufficient energizing that's going on. Otherwise, another lifetime, another lifetime, another lifetime, we get closer and closer, but the mind is so powerful, it can have us doing this for thousands of lifetimes. A little bit more advancement, another lifetime, a little bit more. We can go on and on. Or we can see it as a few days and move quick, a few moments, and be able to go back to the eternal environment of love and playful and festive activities. Any questions or any comments anyone has? Bali?
Gurudev, are we going to have more outside classes?
We have the flies. There's more inside. Yes, Baba Damodar. It's an interesting little place here. I mean, we're in a grove, huh? It's awesome. Any other comment before we go into another prasad activity? Everybody's still in Vrindavan, huh? They're coming back to questions and answers. There's no need for questions and answers in Vrindavan, right? Just be an experience. Yes? I think you want to get on the recorder. See, we have to remind each other, isn't it? Machita magata pana boyandas chaparasva. This is our duty. We speak about Krishna. So we remind each other. Give up the amnesia. Remind each other to move faster. Move faster. Yes.
As we're going on throughout the day, and we see our consciousness slipping into material consciousness, into the facade or illusion as you spoke of, how can we quickly pull ourselves out of that consciousness so we can get back into the Vrindavan consciousness?
We simply have to be humble. We have sufficient humility. Krishna will show us, remind us, will find ways to assist us, to help us to balance. But when we are too much thinking that we're okay, or we are doubting the beauty that's there, or we are too much being selfish, then we'll just keep having things that come to us. It's only about, hamamiti, only about ourselves and this body. Keep in mind that Krishna is in our hearts. He is watching, and he is unequivocally arranging based on what our consciousness is crying for. So we find that during the day, we're getting too distracted. We find more ways to try to remember or reminding ourselves. That's why I said one way is especially in the morning and the night. Okay, now during the day, as we have more connection with the sadhana, then it carries us through while we're having to do these other things. Some of you chant such weak rounds, then during the day, where's the strength? Where's the strength to be unaffected by so much other stuff? When our chanting is mostly just we work it in around other things. Devotees chanting all, late at night, or carrying rounds over to the next day, the next 3 or 4 days. So they had other things they were doing, and they just kind of worked around, Our calling to Krishna, we're working everything around, so we get what we're calling for. It's simple, but it's a matter of spiritual time management and organizing our priorities. See, it's not difficult, because when there's something we really want, we organize for it. If we really want it, we organize for it. Except the one is more seriously. And by readings like this, reflecting, it helps to refresh our memory of what's available. And that's also important. Any other comments? Yeah, the mind is no friend. And so, how do we deal with enemy who's with us all the time? It's kind of another question we're asking ourselves. How do I deal with an enemy who's always watching me, bothering me, attacking me? Well, how do you deal with enemy? Enemy means there to try to weaken, slow down, destroy, waiting for an opportunity. So you don't give enemy an opportunity. You try to have less and less facility to accommodate that enemy. And then you start thinking of ways how to stop the enemy before the enemy even attacks. So you safeguard yourself. Huh? People get burglar alarms. They put, you know, things on the windows, on the doors, in the yards. Get security. You have so many ways to chase away the attackers. So our mind and conscience is being constantly attacked. So we have to protect ourselves. Good association. Reading the scriptures vigorously. Have to be praying intensely. And we have to really beg the deities that they've come and they appeared for us to have the greatest connection with the spiritual world. Our greatest connection with the spiritual world is actually the deities. So they've come in such a way. Now we beg to them. You have extended yourself in this way right out of the spiritual world so that we can see you, we can dress you, we can serve you, we can pray to you. So now I see my disease because I don't think about you so much even when I see you. I don't relish so much singing about you, reading about you, hearing about you. But at the same time, I think I want you. Like somebody marrying a man or a woman. Say, I really want to marry you. I want you to be my husband. I want you to be my wife. Then once they're married, you think, so, I want to be with you. I don't want to talk to you, Holly. I don't want to see you, Holly. I want to run away from you. I want to be away. Okay. So it's an artificial relationship. So some of you become so absorbed that you're thinking of Krishna all the time. And then me and some others will be forced to think of Krishna. You think of Krishna all the time as a priority. And then it'll push me to become more serious. It'll push this person to become more serious. Lovingly, it'll happen. But if you are just in anxiety, gloom, depression all the time, you're going to spill that over in the environment. Even though Krishna's there, you're going to deny Krishna. You're not merciful. I'm angry, Krishna. You're not merciful. I'm lonely, Krishna. You're not around. He is around. We have to remind ourselves. We're not lonely. Krishna is really with us. The mind is lonely. Because it wants to get engaged in more stuff. So the mind hasn't been successful in other ways. So now it's going to play a game. Making you feel it's lonely to get attention. But Krishna is there. We protect it, yes, Krishna's there. So, we have a duty to help each other. Because it's not so easy. Illusion everywhere. We protect each other. We're here with the deities, we're here in the grove. So we're protecting each other. We have a duty to try to do that by working on ourselves. Otherwise, if we don't work on ourselves, Krishna will not help us. Because he'll see that we're just trying to hurt others. But by not being more advanced. Why should he help us to bring us to the land of selfless activities when we're just trying to hurt other people by our deviations? When I don't chant my rounds, I'm hurting you. I'm hurting other people. When I don't read, I'm hurting other people, not only myself. When I let my mind go to all kind of crazy places, then I'm hurting all of you. You're hurting me. The opposite, when your mind is going to Radha Damodara's lotus feet, then you're sending love throughout the environment. You're raising consciousness throughout Pennsylvania, Port Royal, throughout the planet. counteract so much of the other negative stuff. So nice, we were in Vrindavan for a little while. Now, we're back in Port Royal, Pennsylvania, maybe. ISKCON founder child, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Sri Prabhupada ki, C.C. Vada Dhammudar ki, Vaishnav Thakur ki, Hare Krishna. We take the ditties back in now? Yeah.